At this time, I'd like to call to order the meeting of the special meeting of the Jumella Township Board of Trustees zoning meeting. Time is 9:04 p.m. Members present are Trustee Vice Chairman Frank Antonio, Trustee Connie Goodman, and Trustee Carl Gettler, Chair. At this time, I'd like to have Joe swear in. Can we do that? Meeting's been called to order. I'll read the legal notice, and then we'll go ahead and swear in. At this time, the Kroger Company, on behalf of Regency Center LP, is requesting final development plan amendment approval to construct an approximately 1,409 square foot expansion onto existing or approved retail space on 12.46 acres located at 7345 State Route 3, Kroger, Westerville, Ohio 43082, currently zoned Plan Commercial Office District, PCD, ZC 2016-07. That is the issue we're here tonight to discuss.
Yep, and just for the point of record, we'll start the hearing at 9:04.
9:04. The hearing is commenced. All right. Anyone who wishes to speak on this matter, we ask that you stand, sign in the back there, and stand when you're sworn in. Well, I guess I can do that. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God?
I do.
Very good. All right. All right, this time I'll ask for a staff report.
Thank you. So I'm not going to belabor the point of the history of this project or who we're talking about. I think we're all very familiar. This is the Kroger on State Route 3, just north of Maxtown Road, across from Meyer. We've already read the legal description that talks about the acreage. They can do sort of an expansion to their already approved expansion. The purpose of this additional expansion would be to provide them additional space to accommodate the ClickList service. You've probably heard about this service. I believe the last couple months they've started rolling out the advertisements. I know a few of the other stores in the region, I think, are offering the service now. So they'll go into greater detail. But basically what the service is from the comfort of your own home, you can order your groceries online, you schedule a pickup time, you'll receive that, you'll have sort of a parking space number you're given, and at that your designated pickup time, you go to the location, park in your designated space. I'm not sure how the check-in procedure works. They can probably talk about that, of how they make sure you're actually there at the time you're supposed to be there. And then once you're there, they come out, load your groceries in your car, and you're on your way. You really don't have to step a foot in the store. So Pro's expansion is 1,409 square feet. Through the process, there were some issues raised that the Kroger's been very gracious to work with us through and address a lot of these concerns. Early on, when they made their first application, there were some discrepancies in square footage numbers that are actually, I think, were sort of historic issues that tied back to even previous applications where numbers weren't always jiving. And to Mr. Gardner's credit, their engineer, he discovered it pretty much simultaneously the same time I did when I was reviewing the plans, and they made the proactive choice to continue themselves with the Zoning Commission in December so they could address all those issues and have clean plans in front of the Zoning Commission. So that was very much appreciated by the Commission and myself. So we got all those numbers straightened out. So the square footage numbers you see in front of you tonight in the parking calculations, I've been told, have been all corrected and are now true and accurate to the conditions on the site. Let's see, moving ahead, there were most of the things that are left on the staff report in terms of items to address are really pretty small, more housekeeping things than anything. I talked about the square footage. Comments 3 and 4 talk about noting those particular numbers in a certain way on a couple of the drawings. Again, there's no code conflict there. It's purely just housekeeping items to make sure all the plans are consistent with one another. Comment 10 is just about accurately calling out some parking space dimensions to make sure they're consistent with previous plans. Comment 12 as regards to lighting, and actually that comment really is, there's no action needed. The applicant stated during the zoning commission hearing that they are proposing lighting on the site, but the lighting is going to match the existing on-site lighting, so there's really no need to provide them new specs, or provide us new specs, because it's just going to match what's already there. In regards to the landscaping, this really doesn't need a ton of follow-up either. I had made a comment about the code says that the landscaping has to be a certain height. And during the zoning commission hearing, the applicant agreed that the plants that they're planting will grow to that height, that required height. Comment 19, there were some sub-comments to the only item open left there is item B, which talks about the applicant stated they would install, there's a concrete island in question. So as I was reviewing this, I had made some requests that they add some concrete islands to the end of these parking rows to provide the vehicles parked in those spaces and the pedestrians using this crosswalk a little extra protection from the vehicles that would be driving through this drive aisle. So they were agreement to that, and they added these two islands, and the crosswalk had always been there, but it was just sort of flat surface with the pavement. So now when it goes through those islands, it's going to ramp up onto the island and then ramp back down. So reducing the amount of time the pedestrians are even or level with vehicles in the parking lot. The space that this comment's referring to is over here. I'd asked for the same one, and the applicants agreed to provide that so long as it doesn't interfere with loading and unloading operations, the truck turning movement. So I'm sure they can speak to more of that tonight, because that came up during the zoning commission meeting. Again, at that time, they said they had no issues doing that as long as it wasn't going to cause a safety concern. So I'm sure they can speak to that a little bit further. All the rest of the comments, 20 through the end, are all just boilerplate comments in the development review section that require no action. They just are there just sort of for housekeeping reasons again. There are two divergences being requested as part of this application. Number one is a divergence request for section 1203.07, stating no structure or commonly controlled business operation shall exceed 65,000 square feet. The applicant is proposing a total single structure size of, I believe I have the wrong number in there. It's actually 90,501 square feet. I think you'll note in the report I have 89,820, but I think that was the number before the corrections were made. So the correct Kroger total square footage number with the expansion, and Mr. Gardner will correct me if I'm wrong here, is 90,501 square feet.
That's correct for the Kroger.
For the Kroger, and that's including the existing building, the expansion that was approved in 2015, and the 1,409 square foot expansion that we're discussing tonight.
Okay.
The second divergence is this. Divergence is section 1904.20 via section 1203.09.D, which states that parking for retail stores shall be provided at a rate of one space for every 150 square feet of floor area, plus one space for every two employees. Kroger's proposing to reduce the required number of parking spaces for the development to 522 spaces. They did provide us the calculation by code. They would be required 809. That sounds like a big difference, but it is important to note that back in 2015, when the previous expansion was approved, the parking divergence was granted actually to go from 796 down to 540. So really the big jump in terms of parking reduction was back in 2015. What they're seeking now really is just a further reduction by about 18 spaces from 540 to 522. So I don't want us to get too caught up in the 809 down to 522 number, because we've already diverged most of that away in the 2015 expansion.
And those are all spaces that are behind
correct.
The building, where there is no current public access.
Correct. The spaces we're talking about this evening. Even in 2015, I think those were all the spaces affected. Well, no, there was some work done in the front in regards to the landscaping and the drive-through and stuff. But, yeah, in this application, yes, we're only talking about 18 parking spaces located in the rear of the parking lot.
Okay.
The only other comments related to the divergences, again, it's just minor housekeeping items of, they have some documentation on record about those divergences. We need to make sure the square footage numbers they updated on the drawings are updated on in the plan text. In regards to the comments you see under signs, the only comment really there is the elevations you got were called out some signs and made it look like they were newly proposed signs when they're not. They're actually all the signs you see on the building elevations is all signage that was previously approved. It's just the elevations make it look like some of that is new. So I've asked them just to clean up the elevations to show that the elevations is part of this application. All of that signage is already approved. There is some signage in the parking lot associated with the click list function that's designating the spaces and also some traffic management. That is being proposed, but again, we're not talking about building signage. That's purely just directional signage and parking space identification signs.
You're about to lose your table.
Oh, jeez.
Thank you for that, guys.
I'm going to sit over at this end.
Yeah.
And I won't push on the table. So those were the only comments of really any consequence that were still left in the staff report. And as I said, they're really all just ministerial administrative items at this point. The applicants, so I'll go back to the site drawing here. You'll see here is the existing Kroger here in white. This hatched area is the proposed expansion that was approved in 2015. The 1,409 square foot expansion area we're talking about is this little gray area right here. And then you also see they're making the modifications to the parking lot. Here are the click list parking spaces I'm circling here. You see there's proposed light poles here and here. Some signage in these areas. I've already discussed the parking islands, the crosswalks. This is another planted parking island they proposed to add that I asked for. And there was also a landscaping plan I'll bring up for you so you can see. The applicant has also addressed a township concern about in the code whenever you are doing a project like this. Now under the current code, we ask that you screen to the best of the applicant's ability the development from adjacent right-of-way. So what they've done to address this is provided a row of plantings here between the parking lot and North Gateway. So these are the 5.5 tall plantings I was talking about earlier in the comments section. These will line the parking lot there and help to shield the headlights and then just overall provide a little additional screening. If you're aware out there right now, there's really no planting.
Right.
Very little planting. I'm not sure I should say no, but very little plantings out there. The high tension power lines actually run through there. That's what this is there. So any screening we get out there is going to be better than what we currently have.
So where the bike trail goes along there as well?
Yes, the bike trail goes along there as well. Yeah, it's a little bit further away against adjacent to North Gateway, but yes. I just want to make sure the applicants identified that the proposed expansion will not be utilized for outdoor sales, which is good because that means it's code compliant. The applicant agreed at the last meeting that any of the signage that they are providing on site in the parking lot will not exceed the 8-foot height maximum in the code, so they'll be compliant there. I talked about the parking islands. The reason the application's before you this evening is the Zoning Commission did vote on the application. It was a unanimous approval, but they did declare it a major amendment because it's an expansion of the structure, which is pretty clear in the code. That triggers the major amendment provision, so that's why it's been forwarded to you here this evening. In terms of staff's opinion on the application, staff's reviewed the divergences in the application overall. I'm supportive of the divergence request to exceed the 65,000 square foot maximum. Staff supports this request as the proposed expansion does not, in my opinion, does not substantially or significantly affect the public health, safety, or welfare. Is compatible with land uses that are adjacent and in a proximity of the proposed use, provides for orderly development as the most appropriate use of the land. Furthermore, the proposed expansion is being constructed on existing impervious surface and thus should not have any detrimental effect on green space or stormwater management. In regards to the parking reduction, staff is also supporting this request for numerous reasons. I believe the parking reduction will be mitigated by the fact that the proposed click list service will likely reduce the number of vehicles needing to park on the site for an extended period of time, thus freeing up more parking. Now, admittedly, I'm not sure that'll be a large number, but it'll still be at least somewhat of a reduction. The addition of the previously approved drive-through pharmacy will also cut down on the number of customers needing to park for extended period of times. Again, I'm not sure it'll make a big difference, but every little bit helps. The addition of the previously approved western customer entrance will likely prompt more customers to park in the westernmost spaces of the front parking lot, which by just my observation aren't always as utilized, and I think a lot of that's due to the current layout, which is going to be revised somewhat when they do some of those landscape changes that we previously talked about. So that should help shift some of the congestion I think you see right in front of the doors to maybe, you know, maybe spread it out a little bit more evenly. The proposed parking space reduction will occur in the rear parking lot, which appears to be underutilized in my observations. Elimination of the unneeded parking lots for orderly development of the site and better utilization of the property. Users of the affected rear parking lot are likely employees of the shopping center who can be directed to park in other locations on the site. There's no public entrances at the rear of those buildings right now. It's all just entrances for the employees of the tenants of those spaces. And furthermore, I forgot to mention with this click list service, I sort of misunderstood this when I was first reviewing this. The entrance to this space that's going to be back there is not going to be a publicly accessible entrance. It's just the entrance the employees go in and out of when they're taking the groceries to and from your car. The public is not going to be walking through those doors. So that got brought up because I thought, well, maybe there needs to be a pedestrian connection there and we need to, you know, do this, that. And the other thing, if it's going to be a public entrance, they told no, it's really just an employee entrance. So that really took away the need of some of those items. My Regency Center, the owner of the shopping center and the entity who must respond to the needs of all of its tenants within the center, has authorized this application and thus is apparently comfortable with the reduction and its effects on the tenants within the center. In my experience, larger companies with extensive retail experience like Kloger and Regency Center are unlikely to underpark their sites. I think that's a concern, a valid concern when we're dealing with people who have you know, budgetary concerns that are probably a little more strained than a company like Kroger. Not that Kroger doesn't have budgetary concerns, but certainly they have probably a little bit more means than a mom-and-pop startup when it comes to paving. So, in my experience, these types of businesses, they're going to provide the parking that they think they need to function. There are numerous existing developments immediately adjacent to the south and east of Kroger, which can accommodate overflow parking during busier shopping times, especially during evenings and weekends, when some of these neighboring businesses are not open for business. So sort of in the planning world, we call that a little bit of the shared parking phenomenon, where sometimes we park things based on each individual use, but we don't think about, well, the bank closes at 5 o'clock, and it's from 5 o'clock till 9 o'clock Monday through Friday, when Kroger, I think, generates a lot of business. The bank's not open. And the same could be said for, I don't know what the vet clinic's hours are, but some of those other businesses' hours of operations and peak business times are probably offset to some degree. Okay. So overall, the Zoning Commission, as I mentioned, recommended approval to the trustees of this application, and staff is concurrent with that recommendation.
Okay. Very good. Any questions of Joe? Joe, a question, and whether it's for you or we can go into the applicant's presentation. As far as access, I'll tell you what, why don't we just have the applicant do their presentation and we can just open it up for questions.
Sure, because they may cover it.
Yeah. Okay, so at this time, applicant or the representative, make a presentation?
Sure.
If you would speak into the mic, identify yourself, please. And
hit the button?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. My name is David Hodge. I'm the zoning and land use attorney with the law firm Underhill and Hodge. My address is 8000 Walden Parkway, Suite 260, New Albany, Ohio, 43054. And I'm Andrew Gardner. I'm the civil engineer for the Burger Company. My address is 6628 Burbank, Ohio.
Okay.
Very
good.
Mr. Schaefer, very thorough staff presentation. provide additional shopping space to people. We don't think this is going to drive any additional customers that are going to use the standard parking, but we're not providing more retail square footage. In fact, providing this click list is going to, we believe, relieve some pressure to the existing parking situation because it's going to make it more convenient for folks. They're going to be able to call ahead or, you know, click ahead or get on the internet and use that click list. It's, you know, we think relieve some of the pressure. In addition, I've been out as I've been working on this proposal several times through the Kroger, and I've been back in the back section where this click list is going to go in, and just observed it, you know, different times a day, and it truly is an underutilized section of the parking lot. So we believe that further reduces the pressure on the front portion where most folks are inclined to go. The other issue that I think is important here and came up in our conversation with the Zoning Commission is the fact that the employees at this Kroger store could also use this back parking spot as opposed to out front to further relieve some pressure. There is, I think as we speak, a sign in the Kroger break room. They've been observing it, that their employees follow the rules, and it's been working. So if you've been over there recently, you've seen more cars parked back there, that's why. So we believe that this really is a creative solution to a problem that provides for greater efficiencies to Kroger itself, to the site, in addition, as well as customers. And in terms of our ability to work with Mr. Schaefer, as he mentioned, we came in very early on and sat with Joe and had a good conversation and listened to his concerns about the initial submittal. We then went back to the drawing board, cleaned it all up, resubmitted, so that we could have as clean as possible an application to discuss both with your zoning commission and with you this evening. As you heard from Joe, it is here tonight with the staff recommendation approval and zoning commission unanimous recommendation approval. I don't get paid by the word. We won't stop talking. This process always works best anyway when there are questions and answers, so we'll do our best to answer any questions that you have.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Hodge. Mr. Gardner, anything to add? Okay.
Here for. We do have two representatives from the Kroger coming here with us. So
okay.
Something we can't answer, I'm sure they can as well.
Okay. Since you are an applicant, if you have any comments to make at this time, if you would mind coming up to the podium, we do have to swear you in, though. So if you are you make plan on making comments?
If necessary.
Okay.
Doesn't hurt to swear him in.
Let's
certainly.
Why don't you just both stand up, raise your right hand, I'll swear you in, and that way you're covered, all right? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but truth? So help you God. Very good. Now you're legal. Now you can say whatever you want. All right. So we are now going into public comment. Are there any individuals who have been properly sworn in to share comments? Seeing none, I will then turn to the Board of Trustees and ask if there are any questions or discussion.
I do have a short list.
Okay.
I'll try to make it short. You mentioned in here, in your narrative, that there would be 20 employees hired for this at one point, 30 at another. Is it 20? Is it 30? Is it 22, 30?
You take that. I think initially the intent is to hire an additional 20 employees to staff the list. As that service grows,
I would encourage you maybe to make those figures consistent, you know, even just put in 20 to 30. That covers everybody. I want to tell you I appreciate the Kroger store working to put the employee parking in the back. I shop at that store all the time, and I was down there Wednesday, and I thought, where have all the cars gone? So I think that will help the reduction in the parking spaces, and it actually was one of my questions on here. What are the actual store hours, and what will the click list hours be? I don't recall seeing that.
I believe this store is open 24 hours a day, but click list will operate, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, pickup hours are between 7 a.m. and 8 p.m. Is that correct?
Okay. Through the click list, can people pick up anything you sell in the store, prescriptions, liquor? Will they have to go through both the click list for groceries and then through your prescription drive-through when that's completed separately?
And I have that answer for you.
Yeah, if you would please.
And just your name for the official record.
My name is Brooke Speck. Not everything in the store is available through ClickList. Prescriptions are not available through ClickList. Tobacco is not available through ClickList. State liquor is not available through ClickList. However, beer and wine is available through ClickList. We have a system in place to make sure that proper ID is checked before payment at the car side.
Okay. I was specifically thinking about the prescription versus the click list to see if people needed to make two stops, and yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
Okay. Are there any stats that you have at the stores that currently have click list that indicate a reduction in walk-through traffic as the click list picked up?
Okay. This is a true team bird.
Yeah, that's all right. Name, please.
Eric Taylor.
Eric.
Yes, we do. What we're finding is that, you know, as business grows, which we have a calculation that it typically grows to our projections after about 6 months. And at that point, we see anywhere from 300 to 500 orders in a week.
Through the click list.
Through the click list. So that's that many. It's not, you know, those are orders that are no longer going through the front door. And we don't consider orders are $20 or more. Is what we classify as an order. Is that correct? In our findings, we don't, like, you can't come back and just spend $5 and constitute as an order. There's the minimum is 20 for it to count as an order, correct?
It could be.
Okay.
Okay.
That is.
Those are significant numbers. That's where I was headed. Okay. And then the one concern I had about the layout is not so much for your deliveries, because they're further down in the existing section of the store. But when I look at where the click list is and the proposed expansion, the stores that, the other shops that are along there between Kroger and Hallmark, will there be difficulty for delivery trucks to get to them when click list is being utilized by customers? Or vice versa, if there's a delivery truck there, will click list folks have trouble getting into those spaces? That looks pretty tight on paper.
Taking a look at that, we've had some conversations with Greens and Central Service those areas. We've modeled several trucks coming in there. Most of the deliveries for those things now are the world size of box trucks and things. Domino's moving out to the other building. So based on our conversations with Regency Centers, their conversations with the tenants, we were not overly concerned with the truck access back there. A semi-truck can pull in there. It may have to reverse back out to the point to get out, but the box trucks have no problems pulling in.
Okay, thank you. I think that's all I have for now.
Okay, Frank,
thank you.
Questions?
A follow-up to the, I think you said 300 is the number of customers.
That's a projection. In other stores in the area.
Of the 300,
to quantify that. Well, what I can tell you is that most of the surrounding stores in this market are either already have it or are getting it. But we don't believe that this will really be a regional draw. It will just primarily serve the local customer that's currently shopping our stores.
But is it logical to assume that all those 300 are local customers shopping versus
Number 200 are local customer shopping, existing, and 100 are local customers that don't shop. They go to an alternative store. So they're new. A competitor. How does that outweigh the problems if it doesn't happen?
Sure. So let's just say the click list doesn't happen at all. All the things that we discussed about reducing the pressure on the front parking lot, this has certainly driven an emphasis internal Kroger corporate county store manager to get the employees parking back here, which we know has been an issue in the past. This provides this existing drive aisle over here is just wide open through from the parking field into the drive aisle with certainly some clear vision issues. This provides a defined area, a walkway down to the store, some of those islands. There's also been a discussion of the island here, the additional landscaping goes in, and just from an overall picture of this, we think it equates to an improvement to the site in general.
Question regarding likely access. How would you envision the traffic flow getting back into there, coming off North Gate?
We would assume that, you know, and I'm a Genoa Township resident. I shop at this center all the time. In fact, Eric is as well. North Gate is the logical access to get to this area. We would assume the cars would be pulling off of North Gate. We are proposing some directional signage that is part of the application. Where to turn to get to the click list and then pull into the click list stall. There's a directional sign there with a phone number. You call that number, tell them which stall you're in, 1-8, and they will bring it over to you, and then you would exit out and say, when you came in, by pulling forward through the spaces and then exiting back out to work.
Thank you.
I made the assumption that they would be
coming from the front parking lot. That intersection of Route 3 and North Gate
is heavily traveled and dangerous as it sits now. 300 additional cars, is that a daily count or a weekly count? So,
if I may,
the heavier times for the click list? Probably nobody at 7 a.m., but I would assume you have a significant traffic on the way home from work.
So,
peak times.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you can order the is there a limit on that if the time slots get filled up or they bump to the next one? So, let's just say Kroger has so many orders and you want to pick it up. But they've already filled so many orders that have 5 and 5:30 at that time. It won't give you that option to pick up between 5 and 5:30 and say, no, you have to pick your order up between 5:30 and 6 or 6 and 6:30 and 9:30 at that time. So we do restrict the amount of cars that can arrive at the place at certain, during a certain pickup window to avoid the staffing the cars down the drive.
What happens if I have a 5 o'clock for a pickup time that is 4:45? I know what you told me I'm supposed to be here, but I'm hurt. And I want to
So our best practice is to have the groceries ready an hour prior to the customer's scheduled pickup time. So should they come early, they'll call the sign that's on the designated parking spot, and we would still accommodate the customer at that time.
Can be restricted when needed.
Any other questions, trustees? I guess I'm concerned about pushing
parking areas to, or pushing customers to parking areas that are not under the ownership of Regency. The bank was mentioned as one.
Well,
just because that they're not, that's private property.
Well, so, it's our intention to push customers to the bank parking lot.
Well, I think that some...
I did, and that's just the circumstances I pointed out, but obviously you're right. They can't force people to park there, and obviously anyone who parks on property that and they're not using that property does that, so a little bit their own risk. I mean, to be honest, I'm not sure I've ever seen anyone park at Fifth Third and walk into Kroger. I'm just...
Kind of rationalization for the decreased parking that they could use.
I guess I'm going to disagree, Frank. I don't think it's huge, and those parking spots aren't currently being utilized by employees or by customers right now anyhow. So you're really not moving them. If you're doing anything, you're moving people from the front where customers park to the back.
So I was referring to the 800.
You're right. It's water over the dam. We're not here to discuss going from 800 to 500 to whatever, are we? I mean, is that part of the application? Okay, then it's a moot point.
It's still part of my conversation.
It can be part of your conversation, but it's a moot point.
Okay. Right. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to come up with my thoughts.
Carry on.
There was a significant reduction
from the 800 down to the 500.
I've been
in that parking. Number, small percentage.
I think it's important to point out, just as we're talking about this parking issue, there's a difference between on-site traffic, a parking space, not being able to find a parking space, and just the parking lot is busy. I think we all can agree, if you go out to this location, it's very busy between the parking lot and the front door because of the people going back and forth. But, I mean, I actually worked at this location for 2 years before going out to Pennsylvania and then ultimately boomeranging back here. In my time of working there and then just as a consumer, and I was just at Jersey Mike's this evening getting lunch, Garen, that's one night out of 365 days in an entire year. There was plenty of parking spaces. And also, just because a parking space is a little bit further away from the door doesn't mean it's also not available. So, I mean, I guess just anecdotally, I'm not sure I've ever seen that lot full, or I've never been in that lot in a scenario where I couldn't find a place to park. I've not always been able to park as close as I would have liked to sometimes, but I've always been able to find a place to park. So I just want to make sure we're not confusing the issue of traffic with being able to find a parking space.
The only time that I've had difficulty parking in that lot, not I park way out so that I get my exercise and not dented doors, but the only time I've had real issues is Christmas Eve and Thanksgiving because it's full. But at the same time, Home Depot's closing, so they kind of share, you know. So that's the only time I've had a real issue.
Did I understand that the entrance to the store to the west to Route 3? Pushing that second entrance to the secondary entrance to the west, was consideration given to the pedestrian traffic and the inflow of traffic from Route 3?
I zoomed into the section discussed. Here's the secondary entrance. You can see these handicap spaces are not here now. These are some that are going to be moving from over here to over here. There is a stop bar here to force traffic to stop and further wait for the, I mean, they should always stop for the pedestrians, obviously, but it's another safety feature here. This is the slip lane that they were talking about. It's a one-way, so a lot of the traffic who knows that getting in front of the, driving in front of the building here is problematic with the amount of people that go in and out, will be able to sort of get into the parking lot by alternative means that they don't have currently, really, not easily anyway, and will be able to park without having to congest up and make, sorry, I just lost my train of thought, to cause congestion in front of that building. And then here's the revised, or not the revised, the newly added drive-through. You can see the right circulation there, and this will also take out that traffic, that cut-through traffic that we sort of see go drive down that lane. And I forget who was telling me, someone saw the other day someone go down and they wanted to get to the parking lot in front of Kroger and they took a left and drove right over the curb island that's supposed to stop you from doing that. So I think that's another improvement that this layout will help, one of those issues will help fix.
Any other questions? I'm going to put forth a motion, and if there's further discussion, we can. At this time, I will move to approve the final development plan amendment proposed by Kroger Company on behalf of Regency Center LP, requesting approval to construct an approximately 1,409-square-foot expansion onto existing or approved retail space at 12.46 acres located at 7345 State Route 3, Kroger's, parentheses, Westerville, Ohio, 43082, currently zoned plan commercial, office district, PCD, parentheses, ZC2016-07, parentheses, incorporating the submitted application, staff's report, and any commitments made by the applicant during this meeting. I further move to approve the amendment with stated divergences from the following. One, divergence to section 1203.07, which states that no... that no structure or commonly controlled business operation shall exceed 65,000 square feet, proposing a total single structural size of 90,501 square feet, total development size of 112,456 square feet. Is that correct, Joe?
I'm sorry, no, that number is also incorrect. The actual number would be 114,074.
114,074 square feet.
My apologies.
Number two, divergence to section 1904.20 via 1203.09.D, which states that parking for retail stores shall be approved at a rate of one space for every 150 square feet of floor area plus one space for every two employees, proposing to reduce the required number of parking spaces for the development to 522 spaces. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any further discussion?
I would just like to say that this is an opportunity for us to keep our current retail businesses in the township by allowing them to keep up with the market demand. And I think that this is a small change that will hopefully allow Kroger's to do that.
Very good. Any other closing comments? Seeing none, roll call.
Mr. Antonio?
No.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries. Very good.
Thank you all very much for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming out. And this hour, you know, we actually could have squeezed you in a little bit earlier, but we'd already posted it for 9 p.m. So.
He said to me, I was like, is that right? Well, fortunately, like I said, I live down the street.
So yeah, well, we get overtime, you know, double time. So, you know,
we
didn't
do anything. We're sitting on the couch watching basketball. And
that's
true.
That's
still on when we get home.
That's true.
Baseball,
so, Eric, are you at, and Rose, are you at the Kroger down here, or are you?
I'm out of the division office.
You're out of
the
division.
I'm out of the same office.
Same office. Very good.
How big of an office do you guys have over there in that building?
I think we have about 250 associates in there.
Two floors?
Three
floors. Best of luck.
Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you all. I believe that does conclude the hearing. And at this time, I will make a motion to adjourn the special zoning meeting at, looks like it's about 10:50.
No, I'm sorry, that clock hasn't been changed. Or, no, I'm sorry.
It has.
Yep.
It has.
All right, 10:56 p.m.
9:56
p.m. Okay.
I will second.
Seconded. Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes. Motion carries. We stand adjourned.